The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Let's forget World War III. Let's forget Obama's madness towards Putin. Let's talk about the secret sex freak who would be president. I arranged a meeting for Hillary and a woman in an exclusive Beverly Hills hotel. The man who was hired by the Clintons via a Hollywood executive to cover up their scandals told the Inquirer. She had come to the studio to see the filming of a movie in 1990. While I was there, I helped her slip out of a back exit for a one-on-one session with the other woman. It was made to look casual, even quiet. Do I care about Hillary's flings with women? Why is that an issue? Can anyone tell me why I should care about it? Even when Bill was going after everything with a pulse when he was in the White House, even in the 90s, I said, hey, what do you want me to say about that? We got bigger issues than you know, his sex drive. That's between him and his wife. You know what I mean? Leave me alone with it already. I am a sexual libertarian, number one. That, you got to understand that. Don't confuse me with some, moralistic guy who's going to sit here and cast stones at her. The fact of the matter is, so what? Why does this matter? Tell me why. Okay, it matters now because they've been smearing Trump. I get it. Okay, I get it. In other words, the seedy romps of Hillary and Bill is an issue now only because they've been smearing Trump because he accidentally brushed against someone while exiting an airplane in 1914. I get it. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I see why this is an important story. It's spy versus spy. In this bombshell expose, the Inquirer will reveal the fixer's dossier of smoking gun proof, including 24 years of documents, notes, and journals. Clinton bagman story in his own words for the very first time. It's a hot story, but I think that World War III and stopping it might be a bit higher on the totem pole of interest for me today. However, I know America. No one ever went broke underestimating the audience in America, as a wise commentator said in the 1930s. But I'm not Mencken. I'm Savage. But let's go back to the really important stuff, like World War III and how to stop it. Tell me what is wrong with meeting with Vladimir Putin to stop the war fever that's going on. Do you know that Russia, as we speak, is sailing a major, major battle group through the English Channel? It's a show of force because just the other day, bumbling Biden threatened a cyber war against Russia. What did you expect Putin to do? Back down? He's not one of the girls surrounding Obama who's never been in a fist fight. The bullies surrounding Obama have gotten to the top of the social order by being radical, piggish bullies. They bullied their way through the universities. They bullied their way through government. They bullied their way through every governmental bureaucracy. And now they're running the world and they think they can bully everyone on the planet. Well, they can't. And the last man standing is Vladimir Putin. So he's not going to back down. That's not his nature. You know what's odd to me about all of this is that we have on record Mrs. Clinton herself saying strong countries talk with adversaries. Yeah, you know, wait. Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton said it's strong countries that talk with adversaries. In 2015, Clinton said we must empathize with enemies of the United States. Empathize with their perspective and points of view. Can you believe this? And now she's calling him Hitler and wants war. Listen to clip 10 and see the disconnect, the actual insanity that is now passing for dialogue in our political war. Listen to this.
This is what we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view, helping to define the problems, determine the solutions. That is what we believe in the 21st century will change the prospects for peace.
Which Hillary Clinton was that? Because she doesn't exist anymore. The new Hillary Clinton called Putin Hitler and wants to go to war with him. Now we have two Obamas at least. We have Obama who continuously provokes Russia. And then we had Obama in the past saying strong countries talk with adversaries. Listen to clip 11.
strong countries and strong presidents talk to their adversaries. That's what Kennedy did with Khrushchev. That's what Reagan did with Gorbachev. That's what Nixon did with Mao. I mean, think about it. Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, these countries are tiny compared to the Soviet Union. They don't pose a serious threat to us the way the Soviet Union posed a threat to us, and yet we were willing to talk to the Soviet Union at the time when they were saying, we're going to wipe you off the planet.
Right on! All power to the people! Right on! Well, which Obama's running the country now? Which head is screwed on today? In 08, he made sense. So many people fell for the lies, and they voted for him again. They voted for the con man again, because he sounded like a man of peace. In fact, he's a Nobel Prize winner, Peace Prize winner. Now he wants war with Russia. And now he's saying that if Trump's president, he shouldn't talk to his adversary. Why is Obama trying to make us fear Russia more than this government is the real question? And the secondary question, for which I have no answer, only suspicions, is who changed Barack Obama from a let us say, a dove or a peacenik to a war hawk? Who did this to him? Who wants war? Who is behind the stage whispering in his ear telling him to make Putin the worst man on the planet? Who would benefit from even a limited war with Russia? It's pretty clear to me that this goes back to the Eisenhower warning of the military-industrial complex. That's on the face of it the obvious answer, that there are people salivating, neocons, neolibs, are salivating for a limited war with Russia. I think even these lunatic profiteers don't want a real nuclear war, but I don't know. Maybe they're in the bomb shelter business. Maybe there's a certain senator's husband who wisely went into the shelter business a few months ago. We don't know that. The one who made vests for our military that failed in combat and never went to jail. Who knows? Maybe he went into the bomb shelter business a few months ago. Who wants this war? Which one of the three crazy sisters or three crazy cousins in the San Francisco politics want war with Russia? Which one? Boxer, Feinstein, Pelosi? Now all of a sudden the grandmothers want war? I thought that they were certifiable peaceniks. So who's pushing this war? Where are the voices of reason? The only reasonable voice I heard other than Trump's is Jill Stein, who's running as a Green candidate. Even she said that if Hillary's elected, we're liable to have World War III. I am very consistent in my politics. These people on the other side are dangerous demagogues, and I believe they're out of control. So I throw the question back to my audience again. I'm going to throw the question back to you once again. What do you think of Trump's idea to meet Putin? Can someone answer that question? Why won't he meet with Putin instead of demonizing Putin? What's happened to Barack Obama? Who is whispering in his ear? Why are they attacking Putin day and night? I just played you two sound bites. Clinton said we must empathize with enemies of the U.S. That's when they were peddling the Iran deal. In 08, Obama said strong countries talk with adversaries. Okay, man of peace. Now you have the Obama of today, where a reporter asked him about Trump meeting Putin before taking office. This is an astonishing answer that he gave. I want you to listen to clip 9 on the Savage Nation right now.
Donald Trump says Hillary Clinton talks too tough about Vladimir Putin and that both of you insult the Russian leader. He also said that if elected, he might meet with the Russian leader before his inauguration. What do you think of Trump's approach to Putin and how would it affect America's interest on the international stage?
Any characterization that somehow we have improperly challenged Russian aggression or have somehow tried to encroach on their legitimate interests is just wrong.
Really?
And Mr. Trump's continued flattery of Mr. Putin and the degree to which he appears to model many of his policies and approaches to politics on Mr. Putin is unprecedented in American politics.
You're a liar. Come on, Barry. Cut it out. Not everybody is an acolyte. Not everybody is one of your stooges. Everything you say, we fall on our hands and knees, that the king has spoken. You're just a hypocrite and a liar. What do you mean it's unprecedented? You yourself said that strong countries talk with adversaries. Which side of the mouth are you talking out of today, Obama? We are way past attacking domestic enemies with your fancy double talk. You are now bringing the world to the brink of World War III. The Russians have sailed a major fleet, are sailing it right through the English Channel, including a 55,000-ton aircraft carrier, which, by the way, is not a rust bucket falling apart. They have upgraded the Navy while you have destroyed our Navy. They have upgraded their bomber command while you have destroyed our bomber command. They have upgraded their nuclear arsenal while you have decimated ours. Watch out what the hell you're saying! Who is controlling Obama? The man of peace, I can understand why people voted for him. Nobody wants war, especially people who fought in wars. Nobody wants war except lunatics. So now you have a complete pack of progressive pacifists who have turned 180, and now they're war hawks. They've gone from doves to hawks for reasons we don't even understand. And they're rattling sabers. They're threatening a cyber war against Russia. And all we're asking is him to sit down with Putin and stop it. Instead, he attacks the one candidate who says he will sit down with Putin and stop this war talk. And then he says Trump's continued flattery of Putin and the way he models many of his policies and approaches to politics is unprecedented in American politics. But he himself in 02 said the opposite. Suddenly, all of the pacifists and all of the anti-war activists want war with Russia. Isn't that interesting how crazy they've gotten? Now, let me back up here. This is crazy. It's reached a point where if Donald Trump got up and said, I loved my mother, the New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS, New York Daily News would run a blockbuster headline that said, Trump hates women. He only loved his mother. Or Trump hates men, only loved his mother. Now, that's how crazy it's getting. And let me tell you something. It's really sickening because there's a lot at stake right now in the world. We are at war with radical Islam. Have you forgotten the number of terrorist bombings and beheadings? Have you forgotten that young girls as young as 7 and 8 years old are being sold as sex slaves in the Middle East? And here we have Hillary Clinton, who represents herself as a champion of women, not mentioning industrial-level rape going on, not mentioning current slavery going on. Now, I got to back it up again on the Savage Nation. Mr. Trump comes on the show, and in the midst of our very, very natural conversation, I ask him about the Russia situation, and he said he would be willing to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin before Inauguration Day if he's elected as president. All of a sudden, New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS News, New York Daily News, The Hill, MSNBC, all of a sudden they're attacking Trump for wanting to make peace instead of war with Russia. Have they lost their collective minds, I ask myself. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We are appealing to our friends in Russia. We are trying to tell them that we, the American people, do not hate you. We do not hate Vladimir Putin, and we do not want war with Russia. If there is no one else in America who will dare stand up and say we do not want war, it's a group of renegades in the government who are pushing us towards war, then those of us who have been given a modicum of communication have an obligation to speak out right now. I doubt very much that you will hear anyone else in the media daring to stand up to the government media complex. But we don't want war. See, war is real. The women who are surrounding Obama, and I should say even the men surrounding Obama, seem to have been, totally disconnected from reality. I don't know what world they're living in. I don't think they know reality. I don't think they understand that you can't bully your way through everything on the planet by threatening everybody on the planet. They've gotten where they are through bullying and through backstabbing. That's true. But there comes a point at which you don't bully and backstab on the world stage, especially when the other side has nuclear weapons and a leader who is forceful and nationalistic and is now sailing a nuclear fleet through the English Channel. Why is he doing it? Because you threatened a cyber war against him, Mr. Biden. You, with the loose lips, threatened cyber war against Russia just the other day. And what did you expect Vladimir Putin to do? Say, I'm sorry because you threatened him? You know, there's an old adage, never get into a fight that you think you might lose, or it's another way. Actually, I heard it another way. Don't engage in a fight that you're not sure you can win. I was told that when I was young. Never get into a fight that you're not sure you can win. Now, why would this country, with its depleted military, with its destroyed command structure, with a woman in charge of the Air Force who has never flown a plane, glorified air traffic controller, a woman in charge of the U.S. Navy who's never actually steered, I guess, a boat over maybe a Chris Craft on a Lake Michigan. She's now the number one admiral. Suddenly she's Admiral Potemkin. How in the world did this country get upside down like this? It's a comic book, except now we're no longer having a comedy show. Now we're on the verge of a tragedy show. So why is Obama suddenly the other Obama, the one we never saw? Why is he suddenly so militant? I liked him better as the pacifist, the peacenik. At least I knew that I had on one side a pacifist and a peacenik. At least I understood that. And now all of a sudden we have another Obama. Mr. War Power. All of a sudden he wants war. He hates Trump because Trump said that if he wins, he'll meet Putin before taking office. And Obama all of a sudden freaks out. His policies and approaches to politics on Putin is unprecedented in American politics. No, it is not. If I remember the history of America in my lifetime, there were many cases where emissaries who were not president went to adversaries and talked to them. I can go back to the age of the PLO. Didn't we have many times when senators went and talked to Yasser Arafat, for example, to make peace with the PLO? Don't you remember those days? In many cases in the past, Mr. Obama, when power was not centralized, when senators themselves stepped up to make peace, to stop the war talk. But you are, you see, here's the problem. Obama is so power mad right now. He feels he's leaving office and he's got to go out with a bang. Or he doesn't want to leave office and he wants a big bang before he leaves so he doesn't leave. Well, God knows what's behind all of this. But now all of a sudden he's the opposite of what he was. Let me tell you something. There's a saying in the Bible from Romans 13:7, which applies in this case. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear and honor to whom honor. I fear Barack Obama. I fear Hillary Clinton. I know the customs of America. I pay my taxes to the last cent. Do you want to see a limited nuclear exchange with Russia because we are living with an administration that is so ego-driven and so power-mad, or worse yet, that they're just challenging him on a daily basis? Well, my friends, I'd rather talk about that, strong countries talk with adversaries. That was in May of 08. Isn't that before he became president?
Savage.
You know, my friends, we the people have an option here. We got to say, stop banging the war drums. Stop banging the war drums. You're being a fool, Obama. Back off with your ego, Obama. There's nothing in this for us, Obama. We don't give a rat's behind about Ukraine. We don't care about those issues. We care about what you've done to our country. We care that you melted our border with Mexico. We care that Hillary did a secret uranium deal with Russia while now saying Putin is Hitler. Do you know anything about the uranium deal? Of course not. All you heard about is Trump kissed a woman on an airplane 50 years ago. That's because of the lowlifes of the media. We have the worst media in the world. We have a media that is lower than that of Paraguay. A Paraguayan journalist probably has more dignity than any writer at the New York Times. A Uruguayan talk show host probably has more intelligence than Wolf Blitzer. Somebody from the Tierra del Fuego, who covers the life and times of a penguin, knows more about world events than ABC, CBS, and NBC put together. For them to drag us through this is a sickening thing. When Bill Clinton was stooping everything with a heartbeat in the White House, they said it's nothing. Bill Clinton grabbed everything with a heartbeat. In the White House, it was nothing. They said it's shenanigans. Donna Brazile said shenanigans. They all said shenanigans. Not one word when John F. Kennedy was having his way with so many different women, including Marilyn Monroe. Shenanigans. They all do it. Look the other way. They're just men. Trump kissed a woman on an airplane 50 years ago. Now that supersedes the serpent in the White House starting a war with Russia. It's so bad that even Jill Stein, who is running for the presidency, she doesn't have a chance of winning, but she's running and she's not stupid. She's running as a Green Party candidate. Even she is concerned that Hillary may start World War III. I want you to listen to Jill Stein of the Green Party right now on the Savage Nation.
It's now Hillary Clinton who wants to start an air war with Russia over Syria by calling for a no-fly zone. We have 2,000 nuclear missiles on hair trigger alert, and Mikhail Gorbachev, the former premier of the Soviet Union, is saying we are closer to a nuclear war than we have ever been. Under Hillary Clinton, we could slide into nuclear war very quickly from her declared policy in Syria. So I won't sleep well at night if Donald Trump is elected, but I sure won't sleep well at night if Hillary Clinton is elected.
Jill Stein, Trump is less dangerous than Clinton. She will start nuclear war with Russia. Well, I agree with her. I may not support her on many other issues, but I support her on her clarity with regard to nuclear war. She said Trump is less scary on foreign wars because he wants to work with Russia. Did you hear that? He wants to work with Russia. And she wants war with Russia. Not Jill Stein, your girl Hillary. And if you're with her, well, you're with war. You're with her, you're with war. Did you know that Russia has told its citizens to find out where the closest bomb bunkers are? A recent television broadcast in Russia explicitly told civilians in Russia to find out where their nearest bomb shelter is and repeatedly asked viewers if they were ready for nuclear war. Now, you could say this is just saber-rattling. You could just say it's Putin trying to scare Obama, and you would be right. But, you know, it raises a few questions such as these. Do we have bomb shelters in America? The answer is no. Why would we need bomb shelters? Obama has one. The entire Mandarin class have bomb shelters somewhere outside of Washington. They're going to be well taken care of. What do they care if they start a war? They have bomb shelters. How come we, one of the wealthiest nations on earth, do not have bomb shelters in every city? Oh, I see. The peacemaker came along, the Nobel Prize winner, and war was over. And lo and behold, we learn late in the demons campaign of mild terror here in America that we might have a war with Russia because he wants a war with Russia, because the people who control him want a war with Russia because it's good for business. You know, it doesn't matter whether you like Russia or dislike Russia. It doesn't matter whether you like Putin or you don't like Putin. What you should like is peace between two superpowers, especially two superpowers that have hydrogen bombs. But since we have a lunatic, a demon in the White House who has never fired a Daisy Beebe gun, who has apparently never been in a fist fight, who has been surrounded by handlers and protectors his entire life, who has never lost a battle with anyone because he's so smart and so brilliant. What does he care if there's a war with Russia? I'm Barack Obama. And he can beat his chest. I'm Barack Obama. I've beaten everybody but Putin. I've gave him the death stare at the G20 conference. I'll show him. I'm Barack Obama. And I have Hillary Clinton behind me, and I have Michelle Obama behind me, a wonderful, sterling character. I love her ratings are so high. It just shows you. The woman has abused her power as first lady from the day she started from the get-go. Abused us. One trip after another. Mother-in-law living in the White House. Not one word from the sycophants in the media. Not one word about this abuse of the taxpayer by Michelle Obama. So the question is, how in the world can any liberal listening to this show vote for this crazy woman, Hillary Clinton? Her extremism, whether it be the economy or international relations, in the economy, NAFTA, her husband passed it, sent our jobs overseas, Wall Street deregulation blew 9 million jobs up in smoke, Hillary Clinton. So my friends, why do you think Trump is popular? Trump is popular because of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama's radical policies. Now Hillary Clinton wants to start an air war with Russia over Syria, calling for a no-fly zone. Now, you know Russia's not going to go for it. What, because you want a no-fly zone, they're not going to fly? You're not dealing with the Syrian Air Force here. You're not threatening Saddam Hussein's rickety Air Force here. You're threatening a nuclear power here. Putin's not going to stop flying over Syria and killing ISIS. After all, what is Putin doing in Russia, in Syria? Pardon me. What is he actually doing there? the vermin of the planet, the Hitlers of our time, the Hitlers in a headscarf, the subhumans in ISIS, who have raped, murdered, pillaged, set men on fire while they're alive, who have gone into Christian and Yazidi villages and kidnapped girls 7 and 8 years old to turn them into sex slaves, they're finally on the run outside of Aleppo. And guess who wants to give them safe passage? Mr. Peace. Mr. Peacenik, the demon in the White House, wants to give ISIS safe passage out of Aleppo into Syria so they can go kill Russian soldiers. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if this is not the mark of a totally deranged individual, I'd like to know what is. Again, because he can put on a tie and he can give a speech and he has a good voice, doesn't mean he's not crazy. Obama's policies are crazy. I know it. Jill Stein knows it. Everyone listening to the show knows it. Come on, people. That's a joke. That's Obama's speech. So I think your vote is very, very clear right now, and this is not a racial thing now. This is a survival thing. Comes right down to it. It's a survival thing. And here was Obama, where he talks about someone in radio calling him a demon. I think he was referring to the good man I know, Alex Jones. Of course, I've been calling him a demon longer than Alex has. I don't want a prize for that. But Alex added the sulfur part of it. This is the most important thing I'm going to tell you in 2016. The media has set it up so that you feel Trump can't win. Many of you have become defeatists. You say, he's done it again. He's put his foot in his mouth. He's got to step aside. He can't win. He's lost. That's false. They want you to believe he can't win so you don't vote. They're terrified that all the polls show the reality is that she's losing. She's losing everywhere they turn. She's down everywhere they turn. Her rallies are attracting mice. They're not attracting crowds. Trump is attracting crowds, and they know it. And in the minority community, he's attracting gigantic audiences. The minorities love Trump. They don't trust her. They despise her criminality. They don't like her personally. And they're afraid that they're losing even the minority vote, which is why suddenly Michelle Obama was called out on the campaign trail. They know they're losing black people. They're losing Hispanics in their desire to take over the world. And that's why they're suddenly going out on the road for her. So what I'm saying to you is don't be a defeatist. This is the last chance we have. You know and I know that if she wins, it's all over. It will be the last nail in the coffin of America. It will be the last nail in the coffin of this country. Why do I say that? Is it straight hyperbole? Is the sky going to fall? Well, let's say if there's a nuclear war with Russia, the sky will fall now. So let's start with that. She wants war with Russia. She called him Hitler. A year and a half ago, Hillary called him Hitler. That was very diplomatic. That shows great balance. That shows a true temperament for politics. Her progressive policies and his open borders have poisoned America. Obama has trampled on our Constitution. Obama has turned America into an emerging third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos. We are one bad election away from losing everything. And yes, I'm going to say it, because the words are on everyone's lips right now. Scorched earth. Don't buy the book. Give your copy away to an undecided. And let them see what I have documented as to the policies of the serpent in the White House and what she would do in his place. Everywhere I turn, there's articles about potential nuclear war with Russia. Even CNN ran an article. Russia and U.S. move past Cold War to unpredictable confrontation. Mind you, this is from CNN. They haven't lost their minds. Only some of their spokesmouths have. Jill Stein, Green Party, she says that Hillary could start a nuclear war. Apparently she's interested in this more so than who accused them of that or this. Russia orders all officials to fly home, any relatives living abroad, as tensions mount over the prospect of a global war. Came from Mail Online. Nuclear war imminent, as Russia tells citizens to find out where the closest bomb bunkers are. We have no bunkers here. Isn't that interesting that our great benevolent leader has no civil defense in the United States of America? Why, that's because he ended all wars, didn't he? Didn't Obama end all wars? He dismembered a good portion of our military, especially the command structure. He replaced combat veterans with fools from universities at every level. And now he wants to go to war with Russia. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Obama gave a speech attacking the First Amendment again. Again, the demon gave a speech attacking the First Amendment, but he always does it. He does it in a way that you don't know he's doing it. U.S. President Barack Obama speaks at the White House Frontiers Conference at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, PA, and he gave a speech saying that the media is just a wild, wild west that allows conspiracy theorists a broad platform in destroying a common basis for debate. And then the snake recalled days gone by when only three television channels delivered fact-based news that most people trusted. And he said that's what we need in America. We need those three channels back. The ones that you grew up with, filled with three liars like Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, and the other reliable liars, including Walter Crankenhouse. I grew up on it. When I was 11 years old, I trusted them till I became a man. And then I realized that they're just paid spokesmouths for the power structure. So now we have the biggest liar in history, a man who, according to Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, has actually created the greatest spy network in the history of the world, this sneaky devil. Barack Obama is the sneakiest devil on the planet. Is that a conspiracy theory, Mr. Obama? Is it not true that you created the greatest spy agency in the history of the world? Is that a lie or is that true? Is that true or false, Mr. Obama? You say it's a conspiracy theory. I challenge you. If we have learned through WikiLeaks and others that you have created the greatest spy network in the history of the world, greater than that of the Stasi in East Germany, where every German citizen was spied upon by secret police, and you now say that it's a Wild West, the media landscape, and that we are just putting out conspiracy theories. Well, let's see, what else is a conspiracy theory, Mr. Obama, that you don't want getting out there? Is it not true that you had the street thugs from Black Lives Matter into the White House many, many times? Is that a conspiracy theory or is that true? Are they not, in fact, the people who burn cities down and attack police? Is that a fact or is that a conspiracy theory? Is it not true that you had one of the worst person in the history, worst people in the history of America, a street radical, a con man, a dangerous evil man who attacked Jewish businesses and others in Harlem during his rise to power, named Al Sharpton? That's a fact. Do you know anything about the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire, Mr. Obama? Is that a conspiracy theory? You would have a man who accused the detective falsely of raping a young black girl and smearing her in feces. You would have him in the White House how many, 30, 40, 50 times, Mr. Obama? Is that a conspiracy theory? Is that a wild, wild west, Mr. Obama, or is that a fact? Is it a wild west theory that you have dissolved our border with Mexico, permitting people into this nation who have no reason to be here, no way to support themselves, many of whom are infected with diseases such as Zika, tuberculosis, and others, Mr. Obama? Is that a fact or is that a Wild West theory? Is it true, Mr. Obama, that you are bringing in Muslims that you cannot screen properly, and that instead of bringing in Christians who are running for their lives, you have brought in almost overwhelmingly of the tens of thousands you brought in, I don't know how many. You were supposed to be 1,000 and 10,000. We don't know what you've actually sneaked into the country, but we know that the percentage is something like 96% were Muslims and 4% were Christians. Why would you bring in so many Muslims and so few Christians from the Middle East, Mr. Obama? Is that a legitimate question, or is that a conspiracy theory of mine? Here's another one for you, Mr. Obama. Have you trampled on our Constitution because you're the most divisive president in history? Is that a conspiracy theory? Or is that something that one of the three network spokesmouths wouldn't ask? Isn't it curious to you that a man who is such a progressive in so many ways, who has brought us so far in so many progressive ways, wants to bring us back to the 1950s in terms of news information? Doesn't it strike you as rather odd? What is it about the dissemination of news through the internet and talk radio and such that offends him so much? Is it that people finally have access to information that in the past they would never have even been able to read? And are those things that would offend him in some way because it's not curated by the sorority that he depends upon? He wants a curation. It's going to be necessary, he said.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
As I asked in Latin, an ancient Roman poet named Juvenal asked the same thing as he watched Rome descend into chaos under the Caesars of his time, along the lines of the Caesar now running the United States of America, the brutal dictator called Obama. Quis custodiet ipsos custodes? Who will watch the watchers? He asked. Who will watch the watchers? Do we have anyone watching the watchers? Quis custodiet ipsos custodes? Who will watch the watchers? Yes, Obama has transformed the nation into something lower than a banana republic. What we are witnessing in this nation, whether it be this corruption we are talking about today on this program, governmental officials taking the Fifth Amendment, the corruption of the media, the total compromise of the media, the meltdown of the military, the war on police, the instigation of mobs in the gutters in order to frighten the middle class and keep us off base. All this is a product of corruption. When I've talked about corruption, you're watching it. The corruption runs from the State House to the White House. The corruption runs from the outhouses to the White House. The corruption runs from the White Houses down to the outhouse. The corruption runs back from the sewers of the outhouses of corruption right into the White House. And he gets away with it. Why does Adolf Obama get away with it? He gets away with it because we've all been intimidated by the word racism. He found the magic key to unlock. Actually, the magic key to lock you up. The magic key to imprison you. The magic key to shut your mouth and close your eyes and fill your ears with wax. The magic key is the word called racism. It's the magic key that has destroyed this nation. The cleverest key that has ever been designed by the devil. I'll stop right there. But I first have to tell you that the statement by Juvenal, quies custodia ipsos custodes, worries me very deeply. Who shall I have faith in now? Who shall I look to for an answer? Let the government drop dead. These rotten, stinking villains, all of them. The worst scum on the planet took government jobs. Look what's happened to this country. It used to be people went into government service. I knew many of them. They were good men. And they chose public service in order to do good. I have never seen such scoundrels in my life at every level of this government. Why? Why? Because a fish rots from the head down. If you have a rotten, corrupt leader, if you have a man who hates the country in his DNA, he will hire people who are just like him, who will do his bidding for a few pieces of silver. He can buy off every one of them for a few pieces of silver in order to get his way. They don't care what he's doing to this country. They don't care if he brought in Osama bin Laden's children with bombs strapped to their neck and put them into nursery schools as long as they can run all the way to the Swiss banks with their gold. I've never seen anything quite like this. And of course they get away with it because of the New York Times. The New York Times only looks to see if Donald Trump said something that was anti-woman or racist somewhere in 1963. That the whole entire staff is devoted to whether Donald Trump did something dirty in his life. That's all that matters to those skunks in the newspaper business. And they're a symbol of everything bad. Do I have to say the words Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper? How many times do I have to say to you who they are? These are compromised marionettes owned by the government media complex. Now, in the midst of all this, there are some voices. I'm one of them. I'll blow my own horn because you won't. O'Reilly won't. He won't have me on the show. Blondie won't have me on the show. A pimp or a prostitute? Yes. A terrorist that just blew up an airplane? Oh, yes. Blondie and O'Reilly would be killing themselves to get them on the show. Get that guy on the show. I don't care. Get him on the show somewhere in Jordan when that was going on. That's the media. You ask yourself how this happened? It happened because of a compromised media. News Corporation, 18% owned by Prince Alawid. You have any idea why they don't talk about illegal immigration? You have an idea why they don't talk about Muslim invasion? 18% ownership of News Corporation by Prince Alawid. What more do you need to know about compromise? We've been taken over from top to bottom like Swiss cheese. Now, I ask myself, it's almost a miracle that I've gotten this far, being as outspoken and as insightful as I am. I'll be honest with you. It's a miracle of God himself that I've come this far, despite the impediments put in my way and the obstacles. I'm still here, another bestseller, Scorched Earth. But strange things are happening. Strange things are happening. Little things are happening. I don't even want to talk about them because you'll dismiss them as lunacy. But macro things are happening, such as Monday, such as Scorched Earth being a bestseller, week one, outselling A Fat Comedian's Book, and they list my book behind The Fat Ugly Comedian's Book. They make it number four, and it was number two. Now this next week, they make it number six, when it's really number probably three or four. I want you to go as my army into the bookstores and make sure that my Scorched Earth book is on the bestseller rack. You do that for you. Am I allowed to have contempt for a president? Is it illegal to have contempt for a president who is so villainous? Is there something written somewhere that prohibits having contempt for a man as duplicitous and as corrupt and as anti-American as this one is? Is there something written somewhere that prevents that from being spoken? Here he goes to Shimon Peres' funeral in Israel, supposed to be a eulogy. And what does this villain do? The man who has transformed America into a third world cesspool, giving us terror, riots, mobs, and chaos, as I warned in Scorched Earth. I'll say it 100 times. I don't care how many of you don't want to hear it anymore. I'm trying to warn you. Scorched Earth, Scorched Earth, Scorched Earth, Scorched Earth. He's scorching the nation. What, we have no terror in America? You forgot the latest terror attacks? The one in Seattle conducted by another one of his famous Muslim immigrants? You forgot about the riots he has instigated with fake charges against police? You forgot about the mobs, the Black Lives Matter mobs? You forgot about the chaos? It's all fake, right? It's all to sell a book. I made it up. I'm creating the terror, the riots. I'm making up the mobs and chaos. I'm creating it. He has destabilized the entire world. One man is so powerful. You have no idea that one man could destroy a whole world. You know, there are great men who come along, they can heal a world. There are great men who come along, they can save a world. There are evil men who come along, who can destroy a world. He's one of the evil. Look what he did to the Middle East. Look what he did to the Middle East, which was already a tenuous nightmare of intestine warfare. Look what he has done. Look what Hillary has done with her Arab Spring policy, which I don't know in a million years how Trump lets her get away with. I wouldn't stop screaming it from a rooftop if I were Trump. No matter what they ask me, no matter what the less adults ask me, I'd say, you know what, why don't you get off it, Lester? Why don't you talk about what she did to the Middle East? Now, here, here, order, order, order. Ah, shut up, Lester. You're not fooling anybody. You're just a front man for the Hillary campaign. I'm going to say it like it is. Order, order, order. This is a presidential debate. Order, order. Ah, shut up, Lester. Go back behind your teleprompter. I'll talk about what's real to the American people. The immigrants are destroying America, not healing America. The Muslims are not bringing a positive. They're bringing a negative. And that would be the debate that we wanted to hear. Now, you say, wait a minute now. What's going on in the Middle East that's so bad? I've warned you that there would be an October surprise just before the election. Did I not tell you that? How many times have I told you that Hillary's not through? She's only started. How many times have I warned you that this campaign is not really over? It's only just gotten underway. Not only will they dig up stuff on Trump that's unreal, fake, made up, just before the election for the average dolt to say, I guess that does it for me. I can't go near him. Wait until you see what else they're going to do. There's going to be a full-blown war with Russia. They have built it up to come out, just the adults who watch football and baseball and this ball and that ball and cue ball and dumb ball and more dumb ball and idiot ball, another thing with a dumb ball and an idiot ball and a dumb ball, all the ball watchers, maybe a day before the election, all the dumb morons who are ball crazy will put their minds on the ball of the nation, and there'll be this war with Russia. It won't be a full nuclear war, obviously. Russia sending more warplanes to Syria as world anger grows over so-called barbarous strikes in Aleppo. Now, if you look on the face of it and you listen to the UN and you listen to Wolf Blitzer, you'd say that Putin is conducting a barbaric bombing campaign on Aleppo. But he is. He's conducting a barbaric bombing campaign in Aleppo. The same type of a barbaric bombing campaign that we, the United States, used in World War II to crush the Nazis in Germany. We had to reduce Berlin to rubble before they gave up. Russia never forgot Berlin. Let me tell you that right now. Russia and Putin, they're not patsies. Aleppo was the last holdout of the so-called rebels, which is really Al-Qaeda and ISIS put together under the patchwork of all the doctors and engineers that were that Anderson Cooper couldn't get enough of with the cell phones in their back pockets, if you get the drift. But Aleppo is now the last holdout, these portions of Aleppo, of fundamentally the opposition parties, the terrorist parties, in other words, in Syria. Moscow knows the only way to end it is to destroy them completely. Now, Moscow is saying they're targeted bombing. That didn't stop Angela, the Hitler Merkel, and Barack, the villainous Obama, from calling the Russian and Syrian bombing of Aleppo as barbarous. You see, what Chancellor Merkel is doing to Germany is actually barbarous. She's invading her own nation with Muslims. What Obama is doing to America is actually quite barbarous. He's invading his own nation with immigrants who will never be productive, by and large, in this nation. Obama is invading his own nation. The people in this nation have followed the leader, only it's no children's game. He's leading us right off of a cliff. Now, I ask you a question on this show over and over again. Why is it that leaders of the West, so-called leaders, they're all leftists, some are worse than leftists, why are they invading their own nations with third worlders, most particularly Muslims from Africa and the Middle East? What are they trying to do and why? What Merkel is doing to Germany, what the weaklings are doing in England, what the socialist is doing to France, what Obama the psychopath is doing to America, all of this will render those countries non-existent in less than 30 years. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I wrote this in Scorched Earth on pages 81 and 82, and I answer it myself. Why are world leaders behaving that way, from Barack Hussein Obama to the ballet dancer from running Canada, to every Western leader not named Putin or Castro or Mexico's president, Enrique Peña Nieto? Why are they bringing in Muslims? The answer is frighteningly simple. Two of the hallmarks of the psychotic are egotism and the need to destroy. It is the goal of these dictators to make certain that traditional Americans and Germans and Englishmen in general, and the white male in particular, no longer have a voice in their own nation. They are the enemy. And they are within. It is our job to stop them. Strong words, I admit. It's in Scorched Earth. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So why is Russia conducting this bombing mission in Syria's largest city? Because they want to crush Syria's largest city, crush all the opposition, crush the last remaining urban stronghold of the rebellion by fundamentally the Islamists. So what they're doing is exactly what the United States did in World War II. And I want to remind you of something else. If you want to just have a little touch of World War II, many of you like to buy World War II books. I know you're rushing in to buy a book about the crushing of Japan because you want to live in the past when America was great. I get that. You want to live in the past. None of you want to live in the present. It's too horrible. So you buy books about World War II and this and that. All right, everyone needs to have their own little dreams. In World War II, the Russians lost 400,000 men. in the last few months of the war just to take Berlin after the Nazi Navy was finished, after the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, was crushed, and after almost all of Germany was subdued, they still had to take Berlin. Well, the fighting in Berlin was conducted largely by Russian troops. The Russians fought in rubble. They lost 400,000 men in the last few months of World War II just to take the holdouts in the rubble of Berlin. They know something about war that we in America have forgotten. We in America now have much higher priorities, such as transgender bathrooms on submarines. We have other priorities in America that are far more important than fighting the enemy, and that would be eliminating any reference to the word man in any job title in the United States Navy under this demonic administration. There's no other word. Demonic is the right word. I know the right word, demonic. And so this demonic administration, the Navy has removed all historic job titles that have any word man in it, such as yeoman. It can't be yeoman anymore because it may offend some lesbians in the U.S. Navy. Navy removes all historic job titles after study on gender neutrality. According to Navy Times, titles such as fire control man first class will now be called petty officer first class because the word man is offensive to the militant lesbians who have now taken over the military. Let's see, pesky names such as yeoman have to be gotten rid of. That's because Secretary of the Navy Ray Strangis wants to make all positions more female-friendly to facilitate integration, not to defeat the enemy. You see how well the Navy did in the last year when they gave up crying when a few Iranian gunboats came around. They broke down in tears. Now, why are they doing this? Can anyone explain why they're doing this? It's really quite simple. To destroy the morale of the military. There's no other reason for it. Any other questions? Because I have the answers. There's a very big picture for you to look at on my website, michaelsavage.com. Again, a stunner. London Daily Mail. East Room event with some soccer star from South America. With raised fist, Obama shows true self. He raised his fist in the Black Power salute in the East Room of the White House. And if you look at the picture from the London Daily Mail, your hair will stand up. You will see a different Obama than you've ever seen in your life. It was as though the mask had been ripped off for 1 second. For one fleeting second, you see the actual dictator. You actually see the terror that he can inflict on people with the death stare. Quis custodiet ipsos custodes. Quis, I don't have to say it over and over again, who will watch the watchers? Who's left? Tell me where it's left. The military gone. Tell me what's left. How does this end? Am I depressing to you right now? I hope so. I hope you're so depressed you retaliate inside your heart. Let me go back to the beginning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are in the news business. Some of you are in the politics business. Some of you understand the ramifications of this case. It's the biggest one. The bottom line is that I appealed to Hillary Clinton when I was banned in Britain while she was Secretary of State. My British lawyer asked her to fight for me, to lift me from a travel ban to the UK. Now, what happened was pretty shocking. Here I am, a talk show host who does not advocate violence, who advocates patriotic traditional values, borders, language, culture, who found himself on a list not to be allowed to enter England. That's what I told the BBC. And I said, what does that say about the government of England? It says more about them than it does about me. I was on a list of terrorists, neo-Nazi murderers who were imprisoned for killing Jewish children on buses, all because of my speech in America. And I said, this is the nation where the Magna Carta was created. And so what I did was, is I appealed to Mrs. Clinton. I had my lawyers in England wrote her a very lengthy letter, which she received, and she refused to help me. In fact, if you read the article on WorldNet Daily, directly on my own website, the article's right there, WorldNet Daily exclusive, Sharia Law, Hillary kept Michael Savage on hate list. You'll find an email, a copy of the email, from HROD17@ClintonMail.com. This is through WikiLeaks. Do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea this is the first time we actually see an email from Mrs. Clinton about me? What did she say? Did she say, I'm going to help Michael Savage even though I detest his politics? Did she say, I detest the man's politics, but I will help him because he's an American citizen and I am his representative as Secretary of State, and we believe all Americans are entitled to freedom of speech? No, it's not what she said. She said something else. It said, subject, Savage holding pattern and next steps. It was sent to Mills, Cheryl D. Mills. Any of you in the audience know the name Cheryl D. Mills? Kind of a prominent woman in the Clinton administration right now. And then Cheryl Mills sent an email to Jacob J. Sullivan. Isn't he a continuous player? Isn't he still up there in the camp? In a second email to Clinton on the same day, Clinton's legal counsel Mills wrote, on Michael Savage, Joan wanted everyone to clearly understand before any further discussion occurred with UK that Savage's exclusion should also have occurred under our legal regime. Listen to this. Savage's exclusion could also have occurred under our own legal regime. So to the extent we want to suggest to UK that his exclusion on free speech grounds is inappropriate or anything of that like, that we should understand we may appear slightly hypocritical given our legal regime and actions. Do you know what that means? Can anyone raise their hand in the audience who's not interested in who Trump nudged in 1402? Who Trump nudged on the Nina de Pinta and the Santa Maria while Columbus was discovering America? That's something that you leave to Fox News. You leave that to Blondie. Let Snow White cover the touching. That's what she's good for. Let the other little stooges at Fox News, let the puppets at Fox News cover the touching. Because this is more touching. This touches our First Amendment. And it occurs in writing from Hillary Clinton, from Mills, from Jacob Sullivan, where they say the UK ban against Savage could happen in the U.S. on the same grounds, according to the woman who likely will be White House counsel should Clinton be elected. Meaning, don't help me today, because you're all such big shots in the media. You know what's amazing? This story was on the Drudge Report since yesterday. It's a blockbuster. It's actually the first story where Mrs. Clinton's email is actually seen through WikiLeaks. I don't see your name in any other emails. Do you know that not one television show will book me for this story? To show you how fascistic this government has controlled, this fascistic government has now taken control of the entire media. Every last one of them is now controlled by this Democrat machine. None of them will have me speak about this issue. I only have this radio show for how long, I don't know. I don't know how long this will be allowed. I have no idea. But I thank the people who give me this ability to get the truth out, because what I am saying to you today has deep ramifications for everyone in the news business, everyone in the commentary business, everyone in the media business will be affected by the outcome of this particular case. It's bigger than you may think. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than one man. It's bigger than the First Amendment itself. It goes to the heart of who this woman is, and is she qualified to be president? If she would not help me as an American citizen, why would she help you? The answer is, maybe she will, maybe she won't. For example, if you are a radical leftist who wants to blow up Republican campaign headquarters and go visit a fascist dictatorship, maybe she'll help you get there. I appealed to Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State to defend my First Amendment rights. She refused to do so. Why did she refuse to do so? I will read you the letter that my attorney wrote. I was banned by the government's top Homeland Security official in 2009. Along with terrorists and neo-Nazi murderers, on the pretext that my views might provoke violence. Now, the interesting thing is, my show was not even heard in England. Then Home Secretary Jackie Smith, an altogether unsavory individual, said she decided to publicize the list of 16 people banned since October to show the type of behavior Britain will not tolerate. Isn't that interesting? Britain will not tolerate such behavior as mine? It isn't even behavior, it's speech. You mean, but she tolerates Muslims who say Sharia law, kill the queen, will take over the government, that she tolerates? It's pure hypocrisy and cowardice in England, but we've expected that from Britain under the latest round of rulers. Did you expect that in your own nation? I am a talk show host who does not advocate violence, or I wouldn't be on the radio. I simply advocate patriotic traditional values, borders, language, culture, and yet I'm banned from England. I'm lumped in with Hamas leader Yunus al-Astal, former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard Stephen Donald Black, neo-Nazi Eric Glebe, radical American pastor Fred Phelps. I'm on that list. Others on the list are Russian skinhead leaders, Islamic leader Wagdi Abd al-Hamid Mohammed Ghanim, Abdullah Qadri al-Ahdal, Safwa Khijadi, Amir Siddiq, Abdul al-Mosa, Samir Al-Kunta, and Nasser Javed. I'm on their list. How could a nation put me on a list and leave hate preachers in England who say that we're going to kill all of you? We're going to convert all of you to Islam. How is it possible that those hate preachers can't be deported from Britain, but I can be banned from Britain? People who advocate actual murder cannot be deported from Britain? Ladies and gentlemen, I appeal to you to read Scorched Earth. I also appeal to you in another manner. Your freedom of speech is at stake right now. Hillary Clinton has an obligation to defend all American citizens, even though she hates. Mrs. Clinton, if any of you are listening to me, I know you detest me, but I'm asking you a simple question. How is it that liberalism has gotten so distorted and cowardly? How is it that there are no liberals left in your government, Mrs. Clinton, of the old-style liberals who used to be my teachers who said, I may not agree with you, but I would do what? To protect your freedom? What would liberals used to say? I may not agree with you, but I would go to my death to defend your rights to speak. What happened to that form of liberalism, Mrs. Clinton? There's a lot more to the story. It's called Ban in Britain, Beating the Liberal Blacklist. I haven't beaten it. And we're trying to get the copy to you of this whole story. I long forgotten this case until we ran a search of the WikiLeaks papers. And actually, I was quite shocked to see an email from Hillary Clinton about yours truly, Michael Savage. I was honored, by the way, that they consider me so important that they wouldn't even protect me. I was quite honored to see that Hillary Clinton herself stepped in and said, let's do nothing. And the reason they said, let's do nothing, is because her lawyer, Cheryl Mills, said that the rules in England for banning people are the same as the rules we have here. So if we help Savage, it could turn around on us, and therefore we may not be able to throw people out of the country, or let's say forbid people from coming into the country. It's a very interesting question. I mean, if Hillary becomes president, is she going to deport Americans who are patriotic? Will she use this now to deport people from America who she doesn't agree with? Will she say that they're hateful and they can't stay in this country? We're not Britain. There are a few things that are different between us and the United Kingdom. One is, we have a First Amendment, they don't. The second is, we have a Second Amendment, and they don't. The third thing is, we have a presidential election where both the First, Second, Third, and Fourth Amendments are up in the air. One candidate will support the First, Second, and Third, and Fourth Amendments. The other will attack the First, Second, Third, and Fourth Amendments. Do I have to spell it out for you? Life under Trump, death under Clinton is more real now than ever before. The first chapter of my best-selling book, Scorched Earth, is entitled Life Under Trump, Death Under Clinton, in which I lay out the dangers this nation faces from another Obama turn under the leadership of Mrs. Clinton. This weekend, we found out how dangerous this administration under the Clinton camp would be. WikiLeaks has been releasing emails from Mrs. Clinton and her cohorts for over a week. And this story has been buried by the news, who would rather talk about the alleged abuse of women by Donald Trump. That is a coordinated effort in collusion with her campaign and the news media. Don't think otherwise. It's a disgrace to think that men as small as Jake Tappet, Wolfie the Blinker Blitzer, two of the most shameful men in American history. If ever that there was a catalog of shameful men, those two would be at the Pantheon. The big story on the Drudge Report all weekend long was how Hillary Clinton refused to use her power and influence as a Secretary of State to get an illegal and unfair ban lifted for the most important voice in the conservative movement, Michael Savage. She personally killed my chance to be able to go to England. She refused to defend my rights to free travel and free speech. Why did she do this? By passively not intervening on my behalf, she actively agreed with the British government. Do you understand that? That by not acting when she had the power to act, she was in fact agreeing with them? What does this mean for you? Listen to me very carefully. Let's say you're Snow White on Fox News, and right now you think you're flying high. Let's see that think that because they fired Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch has a glint in his eye for you, and you are now the superstar of Fox News, and you would still have rather have a rapist or a pimp or a terrorist or a gun runner or a child molester on the show than the proudest voice of free speech in this country. It says you're not long for free speech yourself because you yourself have thrown away the rights that you were entitled to. You were given the rights, Mrs. Snow White, and you, Leprechaun. You were given this power, and this power has responsibilities attached to it. It was not about you, Leprechaun, and you, Snow White. You have an obligation to the American people who believe in you with your stinking books and your lying broadcasts. But they now know who you are.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I'm living in a numb nation. It's no longer the Savage Nation. It's the numb nation. It's the drugged nation. It's like a sleep. Unless you say Democrat, Republican, unless you say Trump, they don't respond. They're like dead lab rats. And the only electricity that'll run through them is the word Trump. But the lab rats are dead. Unresponsive. And now you understand the danger we are all in. This whole world that you are enjoying right now, this world of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of the internet, is dissolving in front of your eyes. The snake in the White House, the demon in the White House, Barry Obama, last week transferred the control of the internet to Europe. Did you know that? And nothing happened. There wasn't a peep from one of the fake Republican two-faced phonies in the Congress. He just turned it over to Europe. My friends, there's so much at stake today that we're going to talk about freedom of speech. Do you have any idea what the sewer and how deep the sewer is? Do you know how deep the sewer pipe is that runs right into the Democrat machine? Do you know how deep the sewer is dug and what they will do to destroy your freedoms? I have for you a few things that you got to know about. One is you want to read this for yourself. That I know. What you want to read is not only the article on Sharia law, Clinton kept Savage on a hate list. It's on the top of michaelsavage.com. It's on WND. But in a few moments, we're going to post a copy of the original book that was published on this issue back in 2009. And I self-published this book. Of all my books, I had to self-publish this. Hardcover, 175 pages. It has all the letters back and forth, including, shockingly, Hillary Clinton's letter, which has never been seen before. Savage calls on Hillary, my letter to the Secretary of State. And I'll summarize it for you in a few minutes. And I believe she never answered me. I don't think I received an answer from her. I have the original letter I wrote to Mrs. Clinton in my last appeal before the election for Hillary Clinton to show all American people they have nothing to fear from her. I am appealing to Hillary Clinton to show America and the world that she is not as deplorable as everyone fears. She is not as dictatorial as everyone fears. She's not as nuts as everyone fears. That, in fact, if she becomes president, which probably is more than 50-50 right now, if she becomes president, she will defend Americans on both sides of the aisle. She will not provoke a civil war by only talking to one side of the American electorate. There's another 50% of us who are not going to go away quietly into the night. Forget about me. There are millions of us. Millions of us. And remember this, all of those of you who are listening to me for the first time. This country is more divided today than it has ever been in my entire lifetime. It's divided because of the divider-in-chief, Barry Obama, who has used race and class warfare to divide America. America was coming together. America was healing. And this community organizer came along and divided us, turned black against white, white against black, gay against straight, straight against gay. He has turned everybody against everybody, young against old, the haves and the have-nots. And he all walks around, like he's Mr. Uniter. He has divided the nation. He has caused the schizophrenia. And let me give you the quotient I came up with. It's 50-50. 50 for her, 50 for Trump, right? Well, there's a little difference between the 50% of the populations. You want to hear them? On one side, we have 50% of the population who was for Hillary Clinton. Of that 50%, 80% or more pay no taxes. Of the 50% who support Trump, 80% pay all of the taxes. That's my quotient. You didn't hear it on CNN. You didn't read it in the New York Times. You heard it from Michael Savage. If she becomes president, my guess is this book will be banned and that file will be purged and blocked because Barry Obama transferred the internet to a European holding company just last week.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So, Mr. Obama is saying that you can't demonize people or call him a demon because it divides people. And people get angry at each other. You can't demonize people. So I thought about that and I said, well, wait a minute. Let's now stop and think. Who has Barry O. demonized? Who has Hillary demonized? Why, it's a simple short list. The very man who's offended by someone calling him and Hillary a demon. Let's see, they've demonized cops, check that, yes. They've demonized white people, check that. They've demonized people with money, check that. They've demonized Christians, check that. They've demonized Israeli Jews, check that. They've demonized Russians, check that. They've demonized Putin, check that. Who else? Let's see, who else have these non-dividers, these uniters, demonized? Oh, yeah, the rednecks, right. They've demonized half of Trump's supporters, they know who you are. You are all deplorables. And this is a man who is so smart as a propagandist that he thinks he can triangulate the story by making believe he hasn't done the same and worse. And again, this is not the first time that America has faced a socialist takeover. Obama was only the first barrage. He didn't get quite as far as they wanted him to get. He got close, but he didn't win. She comes in, the bull is dead. Did you know that 100 or so years ago our country was battling a socialist takeover, similar to what we are facing today? Many of you don't know this. The issues in the teens and the 20s, those are the 19s and the 1920s, are very similar to today. The campaigns were being run on fair wages for labor, benefits for veterans, regulation of immigration, treaties with much of the world, race riots in major cities. And yes, there were even terror attacks that were issues in the 1920 election. The other similarity was that there was a socialist movement trying to take over the government. You see, the roots of the ideology that Barack and Hillary are trying to impose on us did not just emerge in the 1960s. They go back over a century. Does the name Eugene Debs strike a chord with you? Eugene Debs was an Indiana labor organizer. Does that sound like a community organizer to anyone listening? Eugene Debs embraced socialism and was the Socialist Party standard bearer for 5 elections. And believe me, he was not a marginal player. In 1912, he got 6% of the vote. And yet his last campaign garnered him nearly 1 million votes when the population was obviously much smaller. You see, Russia's Bolshevik Revolution and the dawn of communism was an exciting experiment that many in this nation saw as quite compelling. Eugene Debs took the message to the streets in the form of strikes and fighting for, quote, workers' rights. Did you know that in 1919 there was one of the biggest race riots in Chicago over the alleged false arrest of a black man instead of a white man for murder? the conduct of the white police force was being criticized during and after the riots. Black Lives Matter, ring a note to anyone. I'm going to send an appeal out to Mr. Obama. I don't know who he's referencing when he says someone on the radio. I don't think it was me, because it could be me, because I said that he's a demon for a long time, because I believe he's demonic. And I think in deciding how to appeal to Obama, if he gets the reports from one of his minions working inside the inside of the inside, probably he was referring to Alex Jones in that comment. I never mentioned sulfur, I don't think, but I did say he was demonic, because he is demonic. How else would you describe what Obama is doing to this nation other than demonic? There's no other way to describe it. And so I would send an appeal out to Mr. Obama rather than yelling and screaming, because he's the most powerful man on earth, and he's not going to listen anyway. But I think that somewhere inside Barack Obama, there is a different person. Somewhere deep inside of him, there is a man who actually might understand that he has weakened the military, that he has demonized the police, that he has instigated mobs and riots, that he is conducting warmongering against Russia, that he has conducted the greatest spy enterprise ever seen in the world, that he has looked the other way as radical Islamists commit murder and trample the world, while he is destroying our borders, flooding the U.S. with undesirable, deplorable welfare leeches, and continues to practice a scorched earth policy against America. I actually would appeal to Mr. Obama to stop and take a deep breath and understand that everything I have just said can be factually supported. I do not know in my heart of hearts if Obama really wants to do these things or even knows he's doing these things. I don't actually know if he is doing these things on purpose because he has an enmity towards this nation and wants to destroy it or weaken it and turn it into just a, I don't know what he wants to turn it into. But I do know that he's turning it into something it was never intended to be. And so this is not an apology. This is an appeal to Barack Obama to stop and take a deep breath and stop listening to the mean, evil sorority advisors around you and look at what you've actually done. You have turned this society against each other in a way that it has not been for at least 50 years. You've turned black against white, white against black. You have weakened the military to the point where I don't even know if it can function anymore. You have conducted a war upon the police to such an extent that police are being killed on a regular basis. And you did it. You did it, Mr. Obama. Eric Holder, another one, did it to America. All of the people who demonized police have done it to America, where cops are afraid to do their job, and when they do, they get killed. It was you who instigated the Black Lives Matter mobs. You instigated the riots. You invited the rioters to the White House. You conducted the spying on ordinary Americans who were not guilty. You are looking the other way as ISIS and other radical Islamists commit murder and rape. You, Mr. Obama, are trampling the U.S. Constitution, even though you are a constitutional scholar. You, Mr. Obama, have erased our borders with Mexico. You, Mr. Obama, are flooding the U.S. with undesirable, deplorable welfare leeches. I can support that by the simple fact that the largest percentage of people on welfare are not Native Americans, and I don't mean American Indians, Mr. Obama, but working taxpaying Americans. But the inordinate amount of welfare that is being sucked out of the taxpayers' blood is being sucked out by your very immigrants. And so it's fair to say that you, Mr. Obama, are practicing a scorched earth policy against the United States of America. So why do you find such offense and some comedy in the statement that some of us would say that you are demonic? This is my appeal. I'm trying to do it in a different way, because this country has one election left, and we know what the media is doing. While the world is burning, the vermin in the media continue to talk about what Trump did in 2005. Many of you have become disheartened because of the piling on by the lowest of the human species, the Wolf Blitzers, the Jake Tappers. I can name them all. It doesn't matter what I say about them. They are paid operatives of the Democrat socialist machine. They are leading you to believe that the election is already over. They want you to believe that Trump can't win. They want to dishearten you so that you don't even vote, because they know that the entire election hinges upon the voter turnout. Democrats understand that. That's why they're working the crowds. That's why they're working the gutters. That's why they're working the prisons. That's why they're working the swamps. That's why the demon in the White House is flooding America with illegal aliens. That's why they've eliminated voter IDs in order to get voter turnout for the most corrupt criminal woman to have ever gotten this close to the White House. And what they want you to feel is that it's over and you can't win, so why vote? Well, the exact opposite is true. Not only must you vote, you must actually get out the vote. You must speak to others on the other side of the aisle, those of you who understand what is at stake, and you must tell them that everything is at stake because the Democrats are practicing a scorched earth policy on America. And should she win, all hell will break loose in this nation. She will conduct herself in a manner that you can only fear. Now, I can ask you, what do you fear most about a Hillary presidency? I don't think you have to be a genius to understand the answer to that question. Just look at the amendments. Take a look at amendments 1 through 10, and you'll see a few of them are right in her sights. She'll start with the First Amendment. She will limit the freedom of speech. She will limit freedom of the press. She will limit, if not eliminate, freedom of the Internet. Now let's look at the Second Amendment. You say, well, wait a minute, that's established law. Do you think that Kagan will still say that the Second Amendment is established law if Hillary Clinton wins and stocks the Supreme Court the way, let us say, Franklin Delano Roosevelt did? Expanded the court, stocked the court in order to continue his fascistic control over America? I don't think so. So now let's look at the election. And when I told you in the 1920s there was a huge campaign for socialism, and it got very close to taking over America. It was the last time this country faced it the way we're facing it right now with Hillary. See, the election between Hillary and Trump is very clear to me in another way. It's between centralized, powerful, authoritarian, big government. That's her. You just want to put it in a mild way. And let us say a free market capitalist society. That's the division right there. You want a free market capitalist society with Donald Trump, or do you want to see an authoritarian centralized government that controls every breath you take, taxes you to death, constricts your business, and floods America with so many refugees from so many nations on earth that there's virtually no America left? That's the election in a nutshell. Now, you'd think it would be a slam dunk if people truly understood what is at stake. But because of the fellow travelers in the media, like Wolf Blitzer, like Jake Tapper, I can name all of them, the people are confused. They don't know what's really at stake. And, of course, then they're getting the dirt in the mud. That's all they want to hear is the salacious details. Then you got characters, low life of the lowest. They throw them off radio, have no radio show, no nothing. A guy like Jerry Rivers, you know him as Geraldo Rivera. Can you imagine this nobody who was thrown off radio for being a phony, had the nerve to try to inject himself into the Trump issue by saying just last week that him and his brother had secret tapes of Trump that they were going through and they have stuff that's worse than what you heard, and that creep had the nerve to say a thing like that and then he apologized the other day saying there's nothing in the tapes? That person is still in the media? That person is still on television? I don't even know where he is. This is what we're facing, that there are no consequences for outright liars, plain out liars. We all lie. We know that in our private lives or publicly occasionally. But when you lie in the media and you are caught, you're usually fired. Why is it that people in the media caught lying now are not fired? Why? Because the lowest form of humanity have taken over the networks. The lowest people on earth have risen to the highest positions in the news business. That's why. That's why they're not fired. What we are witnessing in this country now is a breakdown approaching a civil war. Several books ago, I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War. I followed it up with Government Zero. I followed it up with Scorched Earth, which by the way, and I got the news last night, is on the New York Times list for a fourth straight week, despite a blacklisting by Fox News and all of the other media outlets. Now, I expect all the other media outlets, but wouldn't you think that Snow White, who you know as Megyn Kelly, wouldn't you think that Snow White would want to have a best-selling author on her show? You would, wouldn't you? But if you look into Snow White's orientation, political orientation, that is, you will find out that Snow White, just like the others, are following the marching orders, and the march is towards socialism. Make no mistake about it. in socialist systems, there are some very rich and powerful people on top, and the rest of the people are serfs. Don't for 1 minute confuse it with an egalitarian equality society where everyone makes the same amount of money. There are the very rich, and then there are the rest of the people. And that is why Snow White, along with those in the media who are all very, very wealthy, continue this absurd march towards socialism. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. A plane crash in East Hartford, Connecticut was conducted by a Muslim from Jordan. At first, of course, we were lied to again by the vermin in the media, and we were told it was not a terror attack. Nothing to see here. Move on. But the pilot was Jordanian. We found out 2 days later that the plane was purposely crashed in Connecticut. Two Boston police shot by a man wearing body armor after responding for a call on domestic abuse. Not one word from the demons in the media. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin is recalling Russian officials from the United States and Western nations in what could be a signal that he's preparing for a war, all because of the demon in the White House and Hillary Clinton, who has called him Hitler. The latest WikiLeaks dump shows collusion between the media and the Clinton campaign to try to take out any opposition. That is something that was done and is done only in third world dictatorships. The U.S. Navy is launching attacks on Yemen after a failed attempt of firing a missile on a U.S. Navy destroyer. The list goes on and on. But what is it that you're reading in your newspapers? What is it that you're seeing on your television screens? What are you hearing during the news breaks on the radios? Donald Trump said some really naughty things. Is that what you're supposed to worry about? Now the old hags are amazingly coming out of the woodwork to accuse him of groping them so many years ago. Why is it happening now? Why? How come the very same offended media types had nothing to say when Bill Clinton was accused of raping several women and having many affairs right in the Oval Office? That wasn't news. Oh, wait a minute, all you good liberals. We just read that Russia is pulling officials out of the West. We learned that Russia has told all people to come home to the motherland, including their children. The prospect of World War III now looms. Do you know why? Because war mongers in both parties, neocons, neolibs, are salivating for a war with Russia. They feel that that would save the economy. They feel that would lead us to an economic prosperity, as all of our industries would be called on to produce at high levels. It would lead to full employment. Is that what you want? Is that what you want from a Democrat president? Because the one opposing it is Donald Trump. Donald Trump said he would do a deal with Putin to make sure we don't go to war. So how important do you think this election is? When I say in scorched earth that we are one bad election away from losing everything, and despite the fact that I'm blackballed by Snow White and the friendly green giant on Fox News, the book is 4 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, despite the fact that I have zero publicity except this show. Are the words Donald Trump said enough to keep you away from him? Is the fact that he said something in 2005 enough for you to go to war with Russia? Do you want to really put our nation in the arms of Hillary Clinton and her mad sisters who will double down on Barack Obama's socialist agenda? I want you to try to think instead of just reacting emotionally. Imagine the world if that happens. Imagine what you will be facing if we have a war with Russia. And this is not hyperbole.
Savage.
A panel in the United Nations says that the United States owes black people reparations for a history of slavery. That's right. Here we go again. So we're going to talk about this rationally, not emotionally. I'm going to ask you today, I'll give you my opinion as I've done in the past, that I haven't changed one iota of my opinion. It's not changed at all. I'm the son of an immigrant. I don't owe anybody anything. Maybe you owe me something. Maybe the people who have been on welfare for their whole lives owe me reparations. Maybe those who were freed from slavery, their ancestors, owe some of the poor whites in the South who lost fathers and uncles and brothers to free the slaves. Maybe they're owed reparations by Oprah Winfrey. and Barack Obama, for that matter. And I'll ask you, should black people in America be paid reparations? That's a huge topic. It's very important. I think the best thing to do is play the voice of the reptile from the United Nations. Her name is Muriel Fanon Mendez, the chairwoman of a United Nations working group for people of African descent. This is classic Pol Pot communism to drive a wedge between the races, cause a race war. But listen to her. This is what goes on at the UN. Hear it.
Contemporary police killings and the trauma it creates are reminiscent of the racial terror lynching of the past. Impunity for state violence has resulted in the current human rights crisis and must be addressed as a matter of urgency. Racial bias and disparities in the criminal justice system, mass incarceration, and the thought on crimes policy has disproportionately impacted African Americans. Mandatory minimum sentencing, disproportionate punishment of African Americans, including the death penalty, are of grave concern.
So this Nazi, this French Nazi, she's probably a combination of a Nazi and a communist all in one. She sounds like Madame Defarge. If there was an actual Madame Defarge from the Dickens novel, A Tale of Two Cities, I would cast her voice. Her voice alone makes you want to strangle her to death. Nobody would do that, of course. But the voice, that slimy French voice. But she says we owe African Americans because of all these things. State violence. Disparities in the criminal justice system, which is a total crock of garbage. Mass incarceration? You mean they put people in jail who didn't commit a crime? When did that happen? Tough on crime policies? That seems to keep criminals from committing their crimes, moron. Is disproportionately impacted African Americans? Why? Because apparently there's a disproportionate amount of crime being committed by that demographic group. What are you talking about, idiot? You know, this is the same garbage you see in a school with a teacher. Teachers are disproportionately picking on Latinos and Hispanic males. No, it's not because Hispanics and African males in classrooms tend to cause more trouble. No. No, it's because the evil racist teacher picks on them. See, this is the lie, the big lie. This is how the scum left works. So, my friends, the disproportionate use of the death penalty is another one she's citing, which is utter rubbish again. Because if you look back on the number of people who have been executed over the last number of years, it is not disproportionately African Americans who have been executed, by the way. So now let's go back to the slime bags at the United Nations, the evil slime communists. And I've said before, and I'll go on the record again, I've been on the record for 20 years, I have no power whatsoever. All I have is opinion. All I have is the power of opinion. That's all I have. If it was up to me, and it isn't, I would immediately shut down the United Nations. I would deport everybody in the UN back to their home. I'd give them 48 hours to get out of New York City. And I would turn the whole UN building on UN Plaza into a homeless shelter. And I'll tell you what, I'll split the baby with the bathwater. A homeless shelter only for African-American homeless. That's all. How's that? Does that work, Robert? Because I don't want to be disproportionately unfair. Throw everyone out of the UN, send them back where they came from, with their prostitutes and their drugs, and then open the UN up as a homeless shelter for people of color. Americans only. That's all. Would that work for you? Yeah, right. That's going to happen. So, yeah, once again, the reparations for slavery in the U.S. is in the news. Now I'll hear all the big-mouth liberals from New York. Yeah, we owe them reparations. Yeah, all the Murrays running around the Bronx. Yeah, we owe them reparations. Because we've been bad, man. So, Murray, why don't you give up a dime of your pocket? Murray, give up your house, Murray. Murray, give up your condominium in Palm Beach, Murray. Murray, give a pair of shoes. But Murray isn't going to give up a pair of shoes. Murray won't put a nickel into the reparations. He wants you to pay for it. So, no, I'll talk about this. I'm not afraid to talk about it because I'm on the right side of history here. So let's talk about slavery in a macro sense. Can you name one nation in this world that has never had a people enslaved by another? Name one. We all know the Egyptians used Jewish slaves to build the pyramids. So that means what? I should hate Egyptians? I don't hate Egyptians. I never met an Egyptian I liked or didn't like, actually. I use the Lenny Bruce line. I never met an Egyptian I didn't like, because I never met an Egyptian that I know of. I did meet Egyptians, in fact. Some of them, I do know them very well. I can name one. I know one Egyptian. How do you know if someone's an Egyptian? They look like they're from the ancient world, like Mesopotamia, like they brewed beer in like 400. No, you can't name a nation that didn't enslave someone. Now, number two, did you know that the Mayans had slaves? Oh, yeah! Your poor oppressed Latinos of Mayan descent, their great-grandfathers or great-great-great-grandfathers kept slaves. Go watch one of the greatest films ever done in history by Mel Gibson, one of America's and the world's greatest filmmakers in the world, ever, ever. That Apocalypto was the most astonishing movie I'd ever seen. Yeah, you'll see about slavery. That's the Mayans doing it to each other. Did you know Arabs had slaves? Oh, yes. Did you know Africans, since we're talking about the sensitive topic of Africans, did you know that in Africa, Africans enslaved other Africans? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If they found a weaker tribe, they put a hook in them and they made them into a slave. The Mongols took slaves. The early Europeans enslaved other Europeans. The American Indians enslaved other Indians that they captured. It's horrible. It's horrible. In the 20th century, the Japanese took slaves from China, Korea, and Mongolia until World War II ended those atrocities. Do you know what the Japanese did to the Koreans? Do you know what the Japanese did at Nanking, China? Do you know what the Japanese did to the Mongolians? Do you have any idea? Well, it's over. No one in China is demanding reparations from the Japanese. No one in Korea is demanding reparations from the Japanese, are they? Now, there is not a piece of land on this planet that is now a country that was the result of some sort of invasion, not a piece of land that was not some sort of invasion or conquest responsible for the creation of that land. And let me tell you something else. Slavery exists on the planet right now. This is the part that eats me alive. As we are talking esoterically about the injustice of slavery, and believe me, it was the most, it's about as worst you can do to anybody is enslave them. It's nothing worse. Nothing. It scars people for many generations. Just take a look at what's going on in this country. People still walking around with resentment over something that didn't even happen to them. But let's put that aside. It's one of the worst things that could have ever happened to anybody. There's no saying not. No question about it. However, I'm going to say this, and I hope you understand me. I know Jewish people, a lot of them, and I've run away from this type of Jew. The liberal Jews walk around with a chip on their shoulder about the Holocaust. And let me tell you why it's a mistake. The Holocaust in World War II was one of the most horrendous things ever done to other human beings. It was not just slavery, but it was torture and then murder and then the gassing of millions. How much worse can it get than that? It can't, right? But the Holocaust committed against, by the way, the Holocaust means the fire, by fire. That's all it means. The Holocaust against the Jews, which was basically a burning of the Jewish people by the German Nazis in World War II, was horrendous, no question about it. But Jews should not define themselves by this event, this horrible event. Because by doing so, what you do is you're scarring yourself. You're ruining your whole mind. Judaism is not about the Holocaust. You shouldn't forget it. But Judaism is not about the Holocaust. It's about the Torah. It's about the Word of God. And when the Jew forgets that it's about the Word of God, he ceases to be a full Jew. He becomes a victim that marches around New York with an attitude a mile high. You get it? Take a look at Hillary's encampment. You'll find out what I'm talking about. Now, I played for you the voice of a snake from the UN. Her name was Mireille Fanon-Mendez, France, calling for reparations for slavery by Americans for blacks. And I've addressed it. Every instinct in me said this is classic Marxism, classic communism. She's trying to start a race war. This is what they do. This is how they operate. I looked her up because I had never heard of her. And sure enough, take a guess who she is. She's the daughter of one of the worst people in the history of the world, the Marxist so-called intellectual Frantz Fanon. So she's a hater. And let me explain something to you. The French Marxists are the most virulent, vicious in the world. France is a hotbed of insanity to begin with, on almost every level. But the insanity of Marxism, the locus of it, the locus of this infection is probably Paris. Which is, by the way, why they're invaded by Islamists, because of the left wing in that country opened their borders up. Put that aside for the moment. Anyone listening to this show who's read Scorched Earth and can instantly tell me, who is it that I quote or explain to you was a kindly constitutional scholar who was a leader of a people in Asia, went to France, studied Marxism, and came back and introduced what he had learned in France and created the Khmer Rouge, which resulted in a mountain of skulls, 3 million fellow Cambodians killed after a number of years. You don't have to look it up. It's in scorched earth. His name is Pol Pot. So this insanity, this hatred, which will lead to civil war and death, is being repeated again. Only it's not only coming from the UN, it's coming from the White House. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I'm sitting here during the break. I'm looking at the yogurt I'm eating, the red bull, blueberry goat yogurt. I'm looking at the ingredients as I'm enjoying it. Grade A pasteurized whole goat milk, fruit, water, natural flavors, pectin, locust bean gum, citrus. And I'm looking at the screen on another school shooting. And I go back, like, live active culture of S. thermopopulus, L. bulgaricus, L. acidophilus. I'm looking up one kill, two children, one blithin, no refined sugar, gluten-free, kosher certified. And then again, I'm looking up. And on the run, a teenager. I can't, you know, it's like a schizophrenia here living in the news business. Again, you go back and forth. In the middle of this, Congress rejects Obama veto of 9/11 bill in the first override of his rotten, stinking presidency. Total fat, 3.5 grams. Saturated fat, 2.5. Trans fat. Trans fat? It comes from trans goats? There are tranny goats out there? I didn't know that. I always liked trans fats. Tranny fat? Oh, trans fats. Cholesterol, 25 milligrams. Sodium, 65 milligrams. Total carb. Okay, so you see what I'm saying? This is the madness of the times we live in. And we're talking about reparations for slavery, which is like out of left field. You'd say, why all of a sudden is he doing this? Three reasons. One, because a left-wing fanatic, a pure, unadulterated, race-hating, America-hating Marxist, the daughter of Franz Fallon, which people are forced to study in colleges these days, vile Marxism from Franz Fanon has caused more deaths than you could imagine. Well, now his daughter, you know, she's in the UN. Where else can she get a job? Either that or prostitution. And since in France there's no need for prostitution, since sex is everywhere and nudism is everywhere, there's no need for prostitution in France. Everyone's a prostitute, according to the Muslims. Now, don't get mad at me. They're not wrong in some way. Marxist intellectual Franz Fanon joined the UN working group that recommended the United States should consider paying out reparations to the descendants of slaves. Chaired, as I said, by Mireille Fanon Mendes France. She says that we owe black people money. Let me explain something to you. And I was thinking about it. I'm in love with a lot of things. I love language. I love ideas. I have since I'm a child. But as I got older, I came to understand that everything begins with an idea. Everything in our life, everything in the world begins with an idea. Think about that, how powerful ideas can be. So when you hear a Marxist intellectual like this creature talking like this, you have to understand where this leads. It leads to racial warfare and civil war, which is exactly what she wants. This is the goal of all Marxists, which is to bring societies to their knees, to destroy them and rebuild them in the image of Karl Marx. So how best to do it than to turn blacks against whites and cause a race war? So that's why she's talking about it in the UN. So I want to talk about it today on the Savage Nation. I've touched on this topic before, and I'll say it again. I'll say over and over again why we do not owe anybody any reparations. Over and over again, I'll say it. Over and over again. There's a number of reasons. Trillions and trillions of dollars have been spent on welfare programs aimed specifically at minorities. Affirmative action policies, in essence, are reparations, where more qualified whites have been pushed aside so that people of color, and for that matter, women, could be advanced. And what has been the result? I will argue, by the way, that big government has created a new form of slavery. Big government has created a graft system that you can never imagine. For the first time in his rotten, stinking career, Obama has been overridden for the first time. His veto was overridden by Congress for the first time in his rotten, stinking dictatorship. You don't know what a big thing this is to us. You have no idea what this is about yet. Well, maybe you do. I shouldn't say you don't know. Most people don't know what just happened to him. This is the most dramatic moment of Obama's career, and it's all free fall. And there was only one member of Congress who backed him. Only one. Did you hear this? Both parties overrode his veto. Only one stinking, rotten member of Congress supported Obama. Dirty Harry Reid of Nevada. It just shows you what a villain he is. If you were casting a villain for an old Western movie, and you wanted to show an old guy in somewhere in the old West who stole land from widows, who had thieves running around graves, there would be nobody better to cast than Harry Reid. He has that old Western look, doesn't he? That old reptilian look. He's a tough guy, don't kid yourself. But what a moron to do this. Both parties now. So put down your hatchets, all of you on the left. Because you on the left and you on the right have joined together to override the monster in the White House. But I have good news for you. We are posting a digital version of Abandoned Britain with all of the Hillary emails. I'm bypassing publishers. I've got a digital edition of Abandoned Britain. It's going up on Amazon Kindle, and you'll be able to buy it for a few dollars. You have a permanent record of what Hillary Clinton did. I'm telling you right now. Savage.